Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you accelerate your self-development, get through the challenges that life throws at you, and make it a beautiful thing. If you have questions, you can send them into questions at koabd.com or just click the link right here in the podcast notes and go to the community page and fill out a little form there and send your questions, thoughts, and ideas in that way. I would love to hear from you. Before we get started today, I want to say a great big hello to our listeners in Kolkata, India. Isambandh kiliye dhanyavad. Thank you for this connection. So today we're going to be talking about how people create meaning using rituals and ceremonies and body positions and hand gestures. I know you're thinking of a couple of hand gestures right now. Stop it. But think about over the course of your lives, you witness and you participate in many significant rituals and ceremonies, like baptisms and confirmations and bar mitzvahs and graduations and weddings and more graduations and funerals. And there's all kinds of different rituals and ceremonies. Some cultures have coming of age rituals and ceremonies. Very cool. So we use them for all kinds of things. They mark certain ages. They mark certain phases of your life, like marriage or graduations. Or funerals, and so forth. But why do we do that? Because this is worldwide. This is a human thing. We do it because ritual and ceremony create meaning. And they solidify that meaning. And they openly affirm that meaning. These rituals are usually rather public. And so they create the meaning, they solidify it, and they openly, publicly affirm the meaning. So the power of ritual and ceremony in our lives cannot be overstated. You can get married in 60 seconds at the courthouse, but we all want the ceremony and the rituals and the clothing and the flowers and the events to go with it. Yeah, because they're fun, but also because they mark the meaning of it. And they openly affirm the union. Now, on the other side of life, funerals do very little for the deceased, but they solidify the meaning and the significance of the passing for the living. And we all know funerals are for the living, but what that's doing is solidifying the meaning of this passing. I once heard a widow created a ceremony at her church to officially end the marriage to her husband who had passed on, because her heart couldn't do it. Her heart could not end the marriage to him, even though he had died. So she went to her priest and asked him to help her create a ceremony that would unmarry them. And it worked amazingly. It worked really, really well. Her friends and family gathered and the whole thing. But it worked for her. And that's the point. Similarly, we can use ritual and ceremony to mark the significance of or give meaning to everything from your meditation or your prayer routine to new life stages and transformations that maybe don't already have a ritual or a ceremony to go with it. You could make one. So, for example, you might begin each meditation or prayer session by lighting a candle. And in some religions, you already do this. But if you don't already do this, that's an interesting way to start. Or you might place a specific object on a table in front of you. Some religions around the world have beautiful altars that they open for this. In Western cultures, we don't, but it's a really cool idea. So if you're in a Western culture, you might think about that. It might just be just one object that you bring out and place in front of you to focus on or to help in your contemplations. A common component of ritual and ceremony is the use of body postures and hand gestures. And if you think you're immune from this, you're not. So in many religious ceremonies, you may kneel and you may fold your hands together in prayer, or you may bow on the floor. These are body postures associated with these ceremonies and rituals. Why do you do it? Because that's what we do, right? It's built in and it brings additional meaning. So those who are new to meditation often believe that they must achieve the lotus position. Lotus position, if you are not terribly flexible, can be very, very challenging to achieve. But most people think that this is something that they really need to do. I find personally it's not at all necessary to a good meditation session. I use a half lotus, which is a little bit more comfortable for me. Comfort is key if you're going to maintain it for a long time. But the significance is the point. If you sit a certain way every time you meditate, if you kneel a certain way every time you pray, if you, whatever it happens to be, this brings additional meaning to the ritual or the ceremony. There are many yoga positions called asanas that purport to help energy move through the body or to awaken or to calm energies in parts of the body. And in the yoga and meditation world, these are two different worlds, in the yoga world and the meditation world, which may be linked sometimes, hand gestures called mudras and bandhas are used to focus the user on opening or closing off certain energies in certain parts of the body. So these body positions and these hand gestures, they work. So I did a little digging. Why do they work so well? And as you would imagine, it's fairly psychological. The body positions and the hand gestures work because, I believe, we as humans are predisposed to letting our body cue our thoughts and feelings. So from the study of body language, we know that simply holding yourself tall in a confident position will actually make you feel more confident when you might not have naturally. It's a great trick to use if you are in a situation that's making you nervous. Maybe you're at a big business conference or a party or whatever, and you're nervous about it. If you just hold yourself in a very confident position, you will feel more confident, even though 2 seconds ago you did not. And so it's a wonderful way to use that to increase your own confidence. Or kneeling makes you feel humble. Folding your hands in prayer makes you feel reverent. And approaching a prayer session as humble and reverent, that's a really great way to approach it. It's to the point that if you always go into meditation in a certain position with your hands in a certain position, then as soon as you go into that position, you're training yourself, that as soon as you go into that position, you will feel more at peace, even though you haven't started your meditation yet. But it's also possible to feel humble or reverent or confident or anything else that you want to feel simply by intending to feel it and thinking about what does that feel like. So you don't need the body position or the hand gesture to get that feeling. It's just that they work as a really great cue because we're used to taking cues from our body. So think of positions, hand gestures, and other movements as a cue to help you feel a certain way or to get into a specific mindset until you can just sort of simply get there by choice. Josh Harbinger has a fantastic exercise for this. If you've ever listened to his podcast, he'll talk about his Level 1 networking class, and it's really very good. It's very good. I highly recommend it. And in there, he's got a point that if you, to to be the kind of person that people want to talk to meet, you need to walk into a room with a certain amount of confidence. He's got a wonderful trick for doing that where he says you practice at home. Every time you walk through a doorway, you reset your posture. Every time you walk through a doorway, you consciously stand a little taller, shoulders back, looking confident, smiling, looking around the room, so that when you're out in public and you walk through a doorway, you are conditioned to walk into any room, any and every room, with that look of joy and confidence. It's a really, really neat trick, and it works. Just using our own human nature. So when meditating, I sometimes use hand and arm gestures to keep me focused on specific concepts like gratitude or wishing peace for others or opening the chakras for deeper connection. And I've found, however, that I can create the same feelings and the same movements of energy by just thinking about it now that I've had enough practice. But if it's a session where I am likely to be distracted, or maybe I had a stressful morning or a stressful week or I haven't got enough sleep, if I'm in a physical condition where this meditation session is at risk of not being one of my better ones, then I'll pull those hand and arm gestures back out again and I'll use them again. And they work wonderfully. And in large part, I just made up my own that work for me, that symbolize for me what I'm trying to focus on. And I really recommend that you think about what could work for you. So that being said, I still use these hand gestures to focus. And rituals and ceremonies and body positions and hand gestures are immensely useful set of tools to create meaning and to focus our minds on the right thing at the right time, which could be anything, right? Think about it. When we celebrate a wedding, we're trying to focus the couple and everybody else on marriage, on love, on union, and these beautiful things. And they are focused on it because of all the elements of the ceremony. And it's such a happy and wonderful occasion because of that. So the best part is you can make your own. You can make your own ceremonies, your own rituals, your own body positions and hand gestures to use inside of those ceremonies and rituals. And they will work just as well as any that have been handed to you or that you learned growing up. Yeah, you can. In fact, sometimes they'll work more effectively because they're personal and therefore contain more meaning and more significance. So consider an area that you want to work on. Let me give you a few ideas. So, for example, if you wanted to appreciate your body more, maybe you find that you're a little bit too critical about your body. I speak from experience. If you find that you're a little too critical about your body and you want to appreciate it more, Margot Anand has some fantastic examples of rituals in her books. Or you could create a quick post-shower ritual to honor your body, to show it some respect, to take a little extra care, right? And it makes a huge difference. So go read Margot Anand, A-N-A-N-D, Anand, Margot Anand, has some phenomenal examples in her books. And I recommend all of her books. Her writing is so wonderful. I get completely sucked in and just can't put it down. It's really nice. Think about the rituals and the ceremonies that you might create. If there's a thing in your life that you're trying to work on, a behavior change that you're trying to enact, you can create a ritual or a ceremony that puts you in the right frame of mind and cues you to change your behavior. It doesn't have to be complicated. I see parents here in the United States starting to create coming of age rituals for their children. And that's really cool. And they look like all kinds of things. So what will that look like for you? So let me give you a few that I've created for myself. So I have some, when I'm doing my meditation, I like to start with either gratitude or loving kindness, because it's something that my brain can actively do and kind of slow down a little bit. If I try to go directly into silence, that can be a little bit difficult. So if I'm sending loving kindness, I'll often have my hand over my heart. Makes sense, right? And this cues me that I'm feeling love and gratitude and kindness right now. If I'm opening a particular chakra or energy center, I'll usually have my hands together but not touching, and then I will, and the fingers are slightly bent, and then I will open them up over that chakra, and you can feel it open. I can anyway. Works really great for me. Because I'm trained in Reiki, I have various hand positions that are used to initiate Reiki, and they're very, very effective. You can get some training on that. I do something very, very simple. Before I eat, I put a candle on the table and light it. I try not to eat, especially with others, without a lit candle. And it's just a tiny little thing. But that lit candle, I have given it the meaning that now is time to focus. Because I often associate candles with meditation, although I don't use candles when I meditate. I don't know why. But I use them when I eat. It says, now we're going to focus on this meal. Or now we're going to focus on this meal with these people. And we're going to be right here and present in the moment. So I'll use the candle to remind me to do that, because I am easily distracted. So you can think of all kinds of different things. My workouts have become something of a ritual. It can be the smallest thing. It doesn't have to be esoteric. It can be in the way that you pick up the weight and put it on the bar. It can be the smallest thing that puts you in the mindset that is the most beneficial for you. So really get creative with this, right? Absolutely anything. We have these ceremonies and rituals that were handed down to us, but we can, in addition, create our own. Or instead of, create our own, whatever we like. All right, that's enough for today. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, you can send them into questions@koabd.com or click the link in the show notes here to go to the community page at the website. Scroll down just a little bit. There's a form there that you can fill in also to send in your questions, thoughts, and ideas. Let me know how I can help. I hope this has been helpful to you. If it is, please share. And we will see you next time. As always, I am wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.